Are you looking to make a podcast? Well, if you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. First off, it's free. Nothing is better than free. Am I right? Anchor provides creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more services. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, which is very refreshing for very fresh, new podcasts looking to get their start. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Welcome back to the swamp, my friends. Today we are once again lost in the woods looking for stories of monsters and things that'll keep us up tonight. As always, these stories were sent in by viewers just like you. And if you have a story that you would like to send in, be sure to do so at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I'd love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp, and stories like yours that help keep this show going. Joining me today reading story number 2 is my good friend Ninko Wonderdust. He recently came back to narrating, and it would be awesome if you would check him out and show him some love. His link can be found in the top of the description. Now, without further ado, let's get into these creepy stories that'll keep you out of the woods. You can call me Sinclair or Midnight, whatever you prefer. I'm a country kid from California. It's not all movies and surfing out here, just big farms and ranches mainly. But there are also forests. Deep, dark forests at that. I've had my share of the paranormal and cryptids, and I've got some pretty interesting stories to tell you, but I thought I'd start with this one. Now, I grew up camping and hunting. It's pretty big in my family, and we've hunted the California forest and mountains for generations, especially the farther back areas. A couple of years back, me and my dad, a couple of my cousins, and uncles went on this big camping trip, kind of like a guy's retreat or something. It's a bit of a tradition here. On the first night, everything seemed calm as we sat around the fire, but suddenly, one of my cousins perked up and said, "Hey, y'all hear that?" We stopped for a second and went quiet. There it was, a snapping out in the dark. It sounded farther off. My dad and uncles thought it might be a bear, as it was the fall time and they'd be out, but we all knew better. A bear in the woods doesn't want attention, and trust me, you'd never even know it was there unless you knew what to look or listen for. We stayed on alert the entire time. There had been rumors about this region for a while now, rumors about Bigfoot. Some of us were believers, but a lot of the cousins weren't. But if you stay back in the woods long enough, you'd know the surroundings try real hard not to be found. Going on, this continued for probably 3 days straight. But each time, it was like it was getting closer. Almost sizing us up, so to speak. What with there being like 15 of us and all. But then it got worse. The thing got real close one night and my dad decided to end this. He fired the 12-gauge shotgun in the air, and the footsteps disappeared into the dark. Then, that night, 3 loud knocks started coming at all hours of the night. It was like you would close your eyes and drift off and blam, a massive knock. We weren't leaving, though. We're too tough for that, you know? We were more curious, as I like to look at it. By the 6th night, everything went quiet and we thought it was over. We had guys stay out in pairs to guard, and it was my turn with my cousin Kay. Kay was relaxed, but I couldn't shake that feeling at all. I felt like I was being watched. Then suddenly, a rock flew out of nowhere and smashed into the middle of the fire, launching sparks everywhere. We woke everyone up as a roar filled the night sky. Everyone was up, and every once in a while, we got pelted by large stones. Enough was enough, and we unleashed our bloodhounds, and they chased this thing for almost 3 miles in those dense woods. By the time we caught up to the hound, they were lapping at a rock formation. It was something like I've never seen before. After some time, we found an opening hidden under the brush. We thought it was time to end it all. But We thought better of it, at least for that day. I'll continue sharing this story, if this one gets read, I guess. There are many more encounters with these Bigfoots and other things in these woods. Thank you for sharing my story.
So it's the summer of 2013. I'm 21 and just finished my junior year in college. The second week of August, a group of friends and I go on an 8-day camping trip. There's 7 of us in total, 4 guys and 3 girls. We're camping in a semi-remote campground in the White Mountains of New Hampshire. It was a large campground, but very few other campers were there. There were a few filled sites near the front of the campground, but we purposely requested a site off in the back corner. We were completely by ourselves. During the trip, we planned a whitewater rafting trip for one of the days. We were hiking Mount Washington towards the end of the trip and thought maybe we'd do one or two other small hikes with 1 or 2 days of just chilling by the lake at the campground. We also planned on doing plenty of drinking during the events. The first couple of days of the trip were fantastic. White water rafting was a blast. Everything is going great. So, it's the evening of the third day. We have a roaring fire going. We're all just hanging out at the campsite, drinking and messing around. It was around 9:30 when a disheveled looking man walks past our site. His clothes are kind of torn or worn out. Messy, tangled hair, etc. He looks maybe in his mid-40s. This isn't weird, though. We all just think it's another camper doing a late evening stroll around the campground. About an hour and a half later, we see this same man walk past our site in the same direction. This time, he is walking slower, almost with a bit of a limp. We're all pretty drunk at this point. I think one of us might have yelled something out to him, but he ignores us and keeps walking. Mildly strange, but still is probably just someone who wanted to take a long walk. We wrap up the night around 1:30, 2. The fire is dying down, and we head back to our tents. I usually love sleeping while camping. I usually find it extremely peaceful, but for some reason, I was having trouble sleeping this night. I get up to take a piss in the woods, and when I do, I see a faint light, maybe about 50, 75 yards ahead of me in the woods. It looks like a dim flashlight, or something similar. I decide I want to investigate. I go back to the tent. One of my other buddies is still awake, so I tell him about it. We get up to investigate, and when we do, the light is no longer on. Feeling a little unnerved, I shine my flashlight around the woods a bit, but don't see anything, so I decide maybe my eyes were playing tricks on me before, and I head back to bed. Sometime later that night, I wake up to a terrifying scream. It was Sarah, one of the girls we were camping with. I jump out of my tent as quickly as possible, and nearly run into her as she's running back into our sight. She screams that there was a man standing in the middle of the woods. Now our whole party is awake and freaking the heck out. I try to calm Sarah down enough to get her to explain what actually happened. She says she went to pee in the woods and saw the man from earlier, just standing about 15 feet from her, not moving, like a statue. We're all freaking out, yelling, screaming, making a giant commotion. I'm internally freaking out too, but try to calm everyone down enough so that we can actually do something. We obviously decide to get the fuck out of there. We frantically take down our tents, basically just ripping the poles out and throwing everything into the back of our cars. Then we sped out of there. It was around 4 a.m. We're in two separate cars and decide to drive away from the campsite and try to clear our heads. Eventually, around 5:30, we find a small diner that's open and decide to head in for some breakfast. We all have different theories about what the hell just happened. Some of us think we just ran into some homeless guy who was camping out in the woods and was surprised by us. Some of the girls think maybe he was purposefully stalking us. Either way, obviously, none of us are comfortable staying in that campground again. I head back to the front desk of the campground with two of the other guys. We explain what happened, and the guy at the front desk actually seemed to believe us, but said there were definitely no other campers currently that fit the description of the guy. They were insanely nice about it though, and actually refunded most of the remainder of our stay, which astonished me. As a group, we decided that, fuck it. We weren't letting one freaky guy ruin our trip. We find another campground a good way away to stay in. Fast forward 2 days. We're hiking Mount Washington. We get up early and get to the mountain around 7:30 to start hiking up. We're a little over halfway up the mountain when we see the very same guy hiking down. Though this time, he looks much better. His hair isn't crazy. His hiking clothes are relatively clean. We're all just frozen. A few of us let out a surprised scream. He just strolls past us with a massive grin. Luckily, there are enough hikers nearby that nothing could really happen. We decide to continue hiking up anyway, since he is headed in the opposite direction, and hope we just never encounter him again. We did finish the hike, and luckily, didn't see him. After that, we decided to cut the trip a couple of days short. Looking back on it, we've all come to the conclusion we were definitely being stalked in some way. If it was just some homeless guy in the woods near the campground, what the hell is he doing hiking down Mount Washington a couple of days later? It was a pretty unnerving and bizarre experience for sure.
I'm writing this to you because my friends and I had an encounter with something in the woods and we are unsure of what it was. For a while now, ever since I was a kid, I've been fascinated with Point Pleasant, West Virginia. My dad used to tell me stories of the Mothman and how it terrorized the small town back in the 60s. It's because of his stories I started doing research into other cryptids and urban legends, such as skinwalkers, wendigos, the Jersey Devil, and many others. Point Pleasant was the closest town to me, so I made it a goal to drive down there for the weekend on the 53rd anniversary of the first Mothman sighting. On Friday, November 15th, I picked up my stepbrother and stepsister and we headed down to West Virginia. They were both skeptics. They didn't care about the legend. I honestly don't know why they wanted to go in the first place. We made it to the small town around 3 p.m. and checked into the Lowe Hotel. A couple of hours after going to the Mothman Museum and the other small shops, my two friends Katie and Joanna made it down to the weekend trip. We met at the Mothman restaurant where some locals knew we were from out of town and enjoyed us talking about the small town. One of them asked, "You folks go to the TNT area yet?" I responded with, "Not yet, but it's on our to-do list." This is when our group thought it would be a great idea to go there at night and head to the area where Mothman was. Now, this is an area where two young couples, Roger and Linda Scarberry, and Steve and Mary Mallett, were both apparently seeing this Mothman. We bought lights and headlamps and headed to the area around 8:45 p.m. We approached a gate that was blocked off so no vehicles could pass by and decided to get out of the car and walk into the wooded area. It was really dark and we would have to guide our way with these really bad flashlights, honestly. We had a GPS leading us as well, to one of the bunkers. We made it into an opening in the forest where I believe the factory's building once stood before getting demolished. It was at this point my stepsister and Joanna saw a pair of eyes staring at us from the woods. Whatever it was, turned around and walked back into the forest. They assumed it was a really big animal, and for our safety, we headed back to the car. As we passed the gate, I noticed it could be lifted with two people, and we decided to open it up and head in. As soon as we passed the open area, we found a bunker to our right. I parked the car and went inside to get some pictures. One of our friends was getting a little uncomfortable, so for her sake, I told her we will come back when it's daylight, so we could be aware of our surroundings in the woods. We got back in the car and I pulled back onto the road. Before we took off, Katie and I told the group we were going to close the fence, since it was closed for a reason. We got out of the car, which was facing away from the fence, and the only lights we had were my brake lights on. We picked up the fence and slowly started moving it back into place. That's when I saw it. A pair of glowing eyes, staring at us from the bunker we were just at. They stood 6 to 7 feet off the ground, and it was just staring at us. I stopped moving and I said, "Katie, do you see that?" She responded with, "What?" and looked up and saw the eyes too. The moment we both were looking at the eyes, they seemingly became red and started coming at us. I yelled, "Katie, run!" And as she screamed and ran for the car, the creature pursuing us let out this horrifying roar. Nothing we've ever heard before. As Katie ran, she fell and hit the ground hard, and I didn't move till I knew she was safely inside. As soon as I saw her get in, I ran. The eyes were probably 10 to 15 feet behind us at the moment, and I jumped in the car and pressed on the gas as hard as I could. The road to get out of the TNT area is a 35 mile per hour speed zone, and I was doing easily 100 getting out of there. We were very shaken up about the event, but it honestly felt like history was repeating itself 53 years ago. Once we got back to the hotel, we gathered our thoughts and tried to think logically about what we saw. We looked up wildlife local to the area and tried to compare the noise we heard to local animals, and nothing matched. I'm not saying it was the Mothman, or the sheep squatch, or a Wendigo, or anything like that. My group and I have decided to invest in tech to record our cryptid hunts from now on, and we will be going back to Point Pleasant soon to try and capture what we saw on camera. Guys, cryptid hunting is no joke. What we felt was genuine fear, and we could have died that night. Yes, it might have been a bear, it might have been a mountain lion, but you gotta be careful with who knows what's out there, waiting in the dark for its next meal. It was late fall, right before December of 2017. My friend and I were 16 at the time, and my friend's younger brother was 11. Since his younger brother had just gotten a new bike, we decided to take him mountain biking with us. We have a large national forest on the outskirts of our city, which is amazing for biking. It was right after the first snow, and the ground had a slight but barely noticeable layer of snow. It was maybe 30 degrees, but felt much warmer once we got moving. We left at about 3 in the afternoon, planning to return at about 5 or 6, right before it turned dark. We took it easy, trying to teach my friend's brother. Eventually, at one point in the ride, we stopped at a jump we have recently built and decided to hit it before it got dark. My friend's brother volunteered to video us, so we obliged. Because why not, right? We walked our bikes up and started the descent. I was first and came around the first turn, but oddly didn't see his brother. I assumed he was off to the side to video us or something, so I focused on the jump ahead. Once I got closer, I realized he wasn't next to the trail, so I slammed on my brakes. My friend did the same and yelled at me for stopping like that. While yelling at me, he suddenly stopped. He realized his brother was nowhere to be seen, and my phone was on the ground. It was my phone he was using to film, as he didn't have one. At first, he yelled his name with no response. Then he put down his bike and looked around. He told me to stay at the bikes for a minute because we weren't going to leave him in the middle of a trail. He came back after maybe 2 minutes without his brother. Now, the woods were very thick, but the trees were stripped of their leaves at this point. I could remember. This means we could see far without moving much, but I couldn't see his brother anywhere. We started calling and yelling for at least a who knows how long. We called a few of our friends to come help us out and come look as well. Surprisingly, they came to our assistance and we searched until dark, which was only about an hour. We had not found him or any sign of him. What we realized that freaked us out is his bike was also nowhere to be seen either. This ultimately ended our search. The police were notified. They sent out a search team that night, and my friend and I joined. There were four of us who split into groups of two, along maybe 20 officers. We showed them where he went missing and started the search from there. We searched until about 12 and decided it was too cold to continue, as there had not been a single sign of him either. The next day, which was Saturday, the town gathered about 400 people to search. The search started unofficially around 7 and didn't end until dark. No sign of him again. He was listed as a missing person the next day. My friends and I have not stopped searching, but still haven't found anything until recently. The scariest thing is that this happened just a few weeks ago, which motivated me to share this. We haven't told anyone because we think it's too late, but we found his brother's helmet, which has a distinctive blue design. It was miles from where he went missing, which leads us to believe that he may have been abducted or something. His family was devastated by this, but I've kept close with them as I was before. His family and parents believe he is still out there, but I just don't understand. We were only gone for a minute, and he completely disappeared. He wasn't kidnapped, I hope, because his bike went with him. We aren't uncomfortable talking about it, but they are truly and utterly confused, and don't ever leave anyone alone in the woods anymore, because I know I won't. I just recently found your channel and have been absolutely loving it, so I decided I would throw an encounter of mine into the mix. To begin, I'd like to give a little backstory to where this took place. In the middle of Tennessee, there is a wildlife management area called Cross Creeks. This area is about 14 or so square miles smack dab in the middle between Houston County and Stewart County. These places are both very rural places. Lots of farmland and forest. In this wildlife management area, there are many different walking trails and places to pull off to go fishing. Cardinal's Trail was my favorite back in 2015. I would take my 240-pound English Mastiff for walks there to get her exercise. Plus, it was a secluded enough trail, far enough away from the main trail, that I would not have to really put her on a leash and nobody would bother us. It started like any other day in early November. Both me and Belle, my Mastiff, got out of the little car I had and started down the 3-mile loop. Everything seemed normal. It was a bright, sunny day, perfect for a long walk. About 2 miles in, we passed over a makeshift bridge we had gone over many times before. Except for this time. It was like a switch was flipped. The forest was dead silent. I noticed it the moment I stepped off the wooden bridge. There were no sound besides the babbling of the brook we crossed and the crunch of the leaves as we walked. At first, I thought nothing of it. Belle wasn't freaking out. If the big-ass dog was fine, I am too. That was until I felt a different texture under my boot. Instead of the hard, worn path, I felt something soft. I looked down and stepped back. I had just stepped on a severed fawn's head. The poor thing couldn't have been more than a few months old. Its head was hardly the size of my hand. If a random head wasn't weird enough, it had been perfectly severed. It was like such a good, clean cut. The spinal cord looked like someone took a pair of shears and chopped it. I grew up hunting and fishing, and I've come across plenty of dead animals. From plenty of different predators, that's for sure. This one was, it was just different. So I honestly was more intrigued than disturbed at first. Belle whimpered and she kind of peed herself, then got really low to the ground. Now, when a dog pees themselves, it's a sign of submission or fear. It happens around large predators, and Middle Tennessee doesn't really have large predators. Or didn't. The bears are over in the east, and mountain lions haven't been seen for decades. both predators had been hunted and pushed out. This bit of info is important, so back to the story. I stand up, look around, and decide it's best just to go back the way we came. Seeing as Bell was facing our 12 o'clock, I slowly began to backpedal away, facing that same direction. After about 50 or so yards, Bell stands up, a little taller, and begins walking more confidently. So I turn and walk back to the trailhead. However, a little quicker than before. But not running. Just so I don't instigate a chase. About 15 minutes or so pass and Bell goes back down. I see out of the corner of my eyes something hanging from a tree. Some weird brown mass was shoved into a fork in the tree. Upon closer inspection, I found it was a doe. Something had killed it by ripping its neck out and then drug it into the tree. Alarm bells start going off louder in my head. This was a cat kill. This was a mountain lion stash. I had no doubt. I turned and leave, and find next to a log there was the rest of the fawn's body from earlier, half eaten. As soon as I saw this, the hairs on the back of my neck stood on end. I heard a light rustle of leaves from behind me. Bell whined and I started walking. I didn't dare look around. I was being stalked. I kept walking. The hair on my neck never went down. I could feel eyes on me the entirety of the walk back. Every now and then, I would hear a slight rustle of a bush. An ever so slight rustle. Just enough for me to know I was still being stalked. It felt like hours walking back to the car. Hours at the mercy of this apex predator. I finally saw the car parked in the clearing. Just when I thought we were home free, I heard a branch snap. All I could think is, this is it. This is where I die. I turned to face my attacker. All I saw was the rear end of a mountain lion running in the opposite direction, back into the forest. I turned and bolted with my dog in tow back to the car. I drove to the ranger's office and reported the incident and was laughed at. There hasn't been a single mountain lion in Tennessee for years, he said. There's no possible way one has turned up now and you saw it. Funny thing is, later that month in November 2015, a mountain lion was caught on a trail cam less than 50 miles away from where I encountered it. Turns out mountain lions are moving back into their native lands. These happen to be a breed of the Florida panther. They can now be found as north as North Carolina. I still feel lucky about the incident. Not necessarily that I survived. I mean, yeah, I'm lucky I didn't get pounced on and ended up dead, but I feel lucky I actually got to see an animal that until this point was thought to be extinct in the Tennessee Valley. I could proudly say I am one of the few people who have seen these amazing animals up close and personal. This last story is a short story, but a personal one of mine. So, I'm gonna tell you guys this story off the top of my head, and I hope it doesn't sound too bad. Cause I tried to write it out, but I'm just having trouble getting all the details into one thing, and I'm not the best author, so hopefully this is suffice enough for you guys. When I was 16 years old, I moved into a cabin in the middle of the woods in Tennessee. It was very rural, and we were easily 3-4 miles away from our nearest neighbor. All of our neighbors owned beef farms or dairy farms, or just farms in general. Our house was located on top of a hill that had a 2-mile driveway that wound up this hill. All around us was nothing but woods and creeks. One day, I decided to go explore these woods with my dog. His name was New Guy. When we moved to this place, he kind of just came with it. He was around, and the owner who was renting us out this house decided that, you know, if it was okay with us, he should stay here since he isn't really a city dog. He came around one day, and they called him New Guy, and he just kind of, you know, answered to it, so he became the new guy. Anyways, we were exploring up this dried up creek bed, going deep, 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 and I mean deep, into these rural woods. I was probably 5-6 miles within them. I started hearing some weird noise. I'm sure New Guy had heard it long before me, but I had started hearing it probably maybe 500 feet away from what happened. There was this big, giant massive tree, and then right after that massive tree, there was a clearing. I hide behind this tree and I peek behind to see what's happening. I notice there's a bunch of people in robes. These robes are like a dark red maroon kind of color. and they're chanting something, and in the middle there is a cross that is on fire. And in the middle where this cross is on fire, there's a guy without, like, you know, the hood and everything everybody else is wearing. But instead of it being red, he's wearing what I believe was like a black or maybe a dark blue robe. It's kind of hard to really remember because like these robes are kind of like felt material, hard to explain. I'm trying to think, like they were shiny almost, you know, like it looked like when like light would go on, it would shine and be a little bit different hue of that color. So it was kind of hard to tell if it was like a dark blue or a dark purple or a black, but I think it was probably a black. And this guy did not have like a hood like you would expect like some druid to be wearing. Everybody else did though, and their red, you know, hoods, and it was just weird. And they were saying something. I couldn't really make out what they were saying because they were all chanting in unison. And then the one guy in the middle was kind of saying something completely different. I remember the dog started barking and he started running away, and I was like, oh shit. And he kind of gave away my location there. And I remember they all literally snapped. It was almost instantly snapped their heads at me. And I just remember somebody yelling something at me. And I just ran as fast as I could all the way back to my house. Locked my doors. I don't think anybody chased me. I don't remember hearing anybody chasing me. I just was set on getting the heck out of there. This is one of my personal stories. I have a ton more that I'm probably going to share as bonuses at the end of these videos. I know a lot of people have been asking me to share my stories, and I usually do on live streams and stuff, but I just feel like when I write them down, they don't sound as scary as they were in the moment, and they probably aren't. Thanks for listening to these creepy, deep wood stories. If you enjoyed these stories, please hit that like button as it helps me out a ton. If you're new to the swamp, why not join us? Hit subscribe and turn on notifications to never miss a new video. I upload them almost every single day on all things natural and supernatural. If you enjoyed my guest today, Mr. Nico Wonderdust, please be sure to check out his channel and subscribe. You can find the link to do so in the top of the description. He's a good friend of mine who took a break from narrating for a while and has recently come back, so I would really appreciate if you guys go show some support. If you have a story that you would like to share in a future video, whether it be a deep wood story or something else, be sure to submit it at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I would love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp, and stories like yours to help keep this show going. If you're not aware, you can download your favorite scary stories from the swamp from iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, and just about every other major podcasting platform out there. As always, I appreciate you guys so much for supporting the swamp the way you do. Getting pretty close to 160,000 subscribers, that's pretty insane. If you made it all the way to the end, today's code word is Broken Skull. Comment that down below to let me know you made it to the end and to confuse anybody who didn't. I really love seeing how creative you guys get with these code words. Some of the things you come up with are so funny. I'll see you guys soon with another creepy video.